Should I even go here? He saw Adam and he said that he was by himself. He says, not good for man to be alone, but he went on and he created some animals. He created the beast, and Adam named the animals and the beast, and then God said he still was by himself. See, the problem is that when we decide that we want somebody, we go out and find somebody, and the animals was made of the dust of the earth too. We find a piece of flesh. That's what we want. But the thing that made Eve different from everything else is that Eve came out of Adam and had God in her. That's why then man could say, wow, man. And he called a woman.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT. Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all.
Hand to praise for the second Lord's Supper experience.
Amen. Get your Bibles and stand on your feet. I am called to revisit this text again, and it's God's business, so I'm going to just follow His word. Joshua 24, 14 and 15. Joshua 24, verses 14 and 15, recorded of these words, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Now may you be blessed in this text, and you may be seated. And just as we go through God's word and deal with the text that is before us, there are some things that I want to lift up before your hearing, because God is desirous of us having a one-track mind when it comes to knowing who we serve. God wants us to be of single heart when it comes to dealing with and knowing the God of the universe. It's important for us to understand how God wants us to be committed and dedicated to Him in spite of the influences that reside in the world. We have got to be so stable, stout, and strong that we understand, first, because we know Him, we fear Him. And we fear Him because we know Him. And because this word comes before us today that says, now therefore, it's a command, it's not a suggestion. Fear the Lord. After it says to us to fear the Lord, it continues on with the command and serve Him in sincerity. Here's that conjunction again, and in truth. Now, why is all of this so important? Because, first of all, people don't fear the Lord because they don't know the Lord. If they don't know the Lord, that's the reason why they can't serve the Lord. And if they can't serve the Lord, then they sure can't be sincere in the knowledge of the truth. Because you can't know Him and not want to surrender and submit to Him. You cannot know Him and not desire in some capacity to serve Him. And so all of this is collective knowledge for us to understand that God has purposed every one of us in the body of Christ to have a position of purpose, to occupy that, to function out of that, because we fear the Lord and because we know the Lord. And we will serve Him in sincerity and in truth. Now notice here again, the Bible says, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood, and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. God takes them back on a historical journey, and He reminds them of the mess ups and the mistakes of the traditions of their fathers and grandfathers. What He's literally saying is, when you know Him, then you will reverence Him, you will fear Him, you will not fall into the tricky traps of tradition and follow those patterns, worshiping those gods who grandmama and granddaddy and mama and daddy, without the knowledge that you have, used to worship. Now He talks about on the other side of the flood, and He talks about in Egypt. Now He's dealing with, again, progressively bringing them forward to the place where they are. And even right now, they're not in the place they ought to be. But yet He's reminding them that though you aren't where you ought to be, you are so much further than where you used to be, where your history says you were. And so you should serve the Lord, listen, with sincerity and with truth. God wants to be served. Well, when I say serve in this sense, it means for you to know your calling. Listen, if He made you in His image and in His likeness, and He made you for a purpose, then you need to know that you have a specific role to play. So He's saying to you, He's appealing to you to get in your position, to get in your place and serve the Lord. It ain't got nothing to do with coming to church. Don't get it twisted. This ain't got nothing to do with you just feeling church positions. It's talking about you understanding your ministry. It's you understanding that God has purposed you, willed for you to do what He has designed for you to do. And only after you fear the Lord by knowing the Lord, after you have come into that place where you serve Him in sincerity and truth, and listen again, and you put away the things of the olden day that were not like God. See, you know, one of the things that God did is He winked, if you will, at ignorance and sin because the people didn't have good teachers. Matter of fact, He got Ezekiel told, when Ezekiel was blasting the people of God for how they were acting with God, how they were rude and how they were running from God, how they would not serve and yield to God. And God caused him to sit in the seat of the people He had scorned for 7 days and 7 nights. And when He sat where they sat, He understood as they understood. And what he recognized was that the people were messed up by the teachings they had been getting. That they were messed up because the preachers and the teachers were messed up. And so he, listen, was not commanded to change his message, but rather his methods. You see, he was bashing the folk and banging them over the head and treating them when they were merely doing what they had been taught to do. And some of us worshiped out of ignorance in olden days, and we did things out of ignorance. We might have been sincere, but sincerely wrong. And so as a result of that, they came up under that knowledge. They functioned under that knowledge, and they knew no different from that knowledge. So they operated. Well, here comes the new pastor, and he's like, what's wrong with y'all? And what he did not realize was that they were operating on the teachings of false teachers and prophets. And so, my brothers and sisters, what is necessary to understand is that God wants us to know Him, His Word, so we'll know His will and His way. And if we then know it, then and only then can we serve Him. Listen, I got news for you. He always gives you what you need when you're in your position to serve Him. Don't make no mistake about it. You got what you need. You might want more to serve in a position He's not called you to, but whatever position He's called you to, you got what you need. And if He needs to give you more, He'll give you more when you get in your position. So he keeps on with this word, serve the Lord and put away the gods of your fathers that were on the other side of the flood and in Egypt. And so sometimes, you know, when we hear some of the prayers prayed by some of the older saints and how they prayed prayers that are not biblically substantiated, it was what they knew. It was what they had learned. It was what they had been taught. Jesus recognized that false prophets and people who had not had the knowledge of the word had taught the people of God. That's why in the fifth chapter of Matthew, the Bible says when he had gone into a mountain and he was set, he sat down and he called the people and he taught them. He said, I know you've been told of old that this was this and this was that. But he said, I've got a new commandment for you. I've got a new word for you. I've got new insight for you. I've got new revelation for you. And he knew it was only after they had received new revelation on the truth that they would be able to change their ways and change their thoughts and change their actions and thusly change their lives. So one of the things that I want you to look at as we move on to verse 15 is that shortly before Joshua died, he gave Israel some last words of counsel about serving the Lord. What he said was mighty good counsel. And when we look at this verse, and I've spoken on this verse many times before, but I just want to refresh this in your hearing because maybe today you'll get a little more than you did last time. Listen, first thing he deals with is their excuses. He deals with their excuses. Why is he dealing with their excuses? But notice what the word says. It says in verse 15, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord. Now, why would he say if it seem evil unto you unless he had heard them mumbling and grumbling about serving the Lord? Look again at verse 14. Verse 14 concludes, and serve ye the Lord. Verse 15 picks up with a conjunction, and. So he wouldn't have put this conjunction and then said, if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, unless they were evil speaking about serving the Lord. And so my brothers and sisters, there are people who will find themselves like Israel, making excuses of why they can't serve the Lord. They're too busy. This is that. That is this. Every excuse that they can make is an evil excuse for not doing what God has purposed you to do. Listen at this. If it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord. Now again, he says this because they are making excuses, which suggests that every excuse you make is evil. Somebody didn't get that. When you make up excuses for not serving the Lord, coming to church is not serving the Lord. Don't get it twisted. Lord, I'm at church, I'm at Bible study, I'm at prayer service. No, none of them are serving the Lord. That's worship experience. That's prayer and fellowship time. That is not serving the Lord. You serve the Lord in the position of ministry. And ministry is always in the field of meeting needs. And so when we understand that when we come to worship, we come to get recharged, to have fellowship with the brothers and sisters of God who, again, are worshiping God. And so there are things that happen to us in the worship experience that recharges us and gets us ready for service. But you have not come here to serve God. So don't think you've done your duty. You come to church a couple times a week. Don't think you serve God. If you're going to serve him, then that means find your position and your place and begin ministry. So look again. I want you to see these excuses. If it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, then stop making excuses. There are always some of us in every age who have things so perverted that they act as if they are serving God and they act as if they're doing God a favor by simply showing up. I can't be in church all day. Now that ain't even serving God, but you came worshiping. You know, I've come, we got three services. How many of you took? One. That's all right, that's good. But how much of your time in devotion is quality time? How much of your time in prayer is quality time? Is it qualitative? How much time do you spend with God outside of the worship hour? How much time can you justify being in fellowship with God? You ain't got to do it all here, but you ought to do it somewhere. It can be in your home, in your prayer time, in your private time, in your prayer closet, in your car, on your break at work. It can be all of those. But is it? Because when you understand how worshiping and serving the Lord goes together, when you worship him and when you speak by way of prayer to God and wait by way of prayer to hear from God, then you will know more exactingly what your service is. He'll talk to you. He'll tell you. He's trying to engage you so that you will understand. You will get more out of God and more out of the worship experience and more out of life when you learn your place of service. And so many of us are living life half full to empty instead of living life in an overflowing manner because we don't know how to serve. Your life has been created to serve God, to glorify God. Matter of fact, God should be the chiefest concern of your life, and if he is, he'd have more of your life. So he's saying to them, if it seem evil, making excuses to serve the Lord, well then know this, you're going to serve somebody. Because if you do not serve God, then know afresh that you're going to be serving Satan. He may camouflage it. He may cloak it. He may hide it, but you will be serving him. And so when we think of this and think of all of the excuses they made as evil, leaders who even in our educational realm, the word of God, the will of God, the way of God, God himself has been taken out of the text books of learning, taken out of the school, taken out of prayer, taken out of context. And we wonder why folk are going around shooting up the schools. They might as well. God ain't there. They've taken the prayer away. You've taken away God's protection. You've taken away God's presence. And then you've taken away the existence of God. Talking about we elevated, evolved from apes. The devil is a liar. But that's what we're teaching our children, and evolution and all the rest of this, when we've got facts in the Word of God and we have scientists who have proven the reality of the Word, and yet we won't accept the Word. We make excuses. And so if God is not there, guess who is? Oh, y'all ought to hear me this morning. And so there are even excuses made in places of education. But then notice here, I want you to see not only are there excuses, but here Joshua makes an exhortation. Here's the exhortation. Choose you this day whom ye will serve. Now, in exhorting the people to serve the Lord, Joshua points out that in a matter of choice, it is just that. A matter of choice, not convenience. Choose you this day. Listen, it may not be convenient for you to make the choice, but choose you this day. I know you might not be ready to make the choice, but choose you this day. I know you ain't got it down pat and you're ready to move out on it and your plans are already made, but choose you. See, before you do anything, you got to choose whom you will serve. Before you choose your pattern or plan of service or come into the knowledge of seeking that plan or pattern of service, you got to know who you're serving. And what's so sad about it is so many of us are serving a God we don't even know. I'm not talking about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I'm talking about you're serving Satan in the ways that you have no idea you're serving him, going astray, moving away from the plan of God, and don't understand that you've already made a choice by rejecting God. Choose you this day says that we're going to confirm the choice that's been made. Or every now and then you got to tell the Lord over again, God, I still choose you. Every now and then you got to let him know, I'm still on the battlefield for my Lord. Every now and then you've got to let him know that I'm still determined. My mind is made up. My heart is fixed. I'm on my journey. Every now and then, you have got to make it clear, I have not changed my mind. So he exhorts them, make a choice. It may not be convenient, but it's a choice that you make. Why is that so important? I'll tell you why that's important. Because whether or not you make a conscious choice or not, a choice will make you. In other words, all you got to do is just keep putting off, and time will catch up with you. And when you have not made a choice in time, then time will say, all right, I will choose for you by default. And so what a joy it is to make up your own mind. You know, if I got to go through some things for the Lord, I'm glad I'm going through them because I made up my mind. You know, if I got to go through some hardships and some troubles and some trials and some tribulation, at least I know why I'm going through them, because I'm on the Lord's side. And everybody who's on the Lord's side, the Bible says, shall experience tribulation. So I'll not get all my feathers ruffled up and worried while I'm going through some stuff. I'm going through stuff because I'm going to stuff. And when I have the knowledge that I am serving the Lord and the devil is mad with me, as a matter of fact, the better I serve God, the closer I get to God, the more that God enjoys my service, the more the attacks are going to be on. But then I don't worry about it when he hit me with his best shot. I said when he hit me with his best shot, I know he's mad. But thanks be to God, I get back up again. Yeah, that was designed to keep me down, but if that's all you got, devil, you should have done that, listen, a long time ago before I made up my mind. And so when we serve the Lord because we choose to serve Him, we have an answer for everything we go through. And we understand that God, little Job said it best, though He slay me, yet will I trust Him. I'm going to serve Him anyhow. I know He gave it to me. If He take it away, blessed be the name of the Lord. Because Job is clear evidence that if He allows it to be taken away for, it's just so He's getting you ready for double. For all of your trouble, He's getting you ready for more. He's getting you ready for excellence. He's getting you ready for abundance. Sometimes He's got to get the little stuff out the way. Tell Him sometime He's got to get the little stuff out the way. Amen. And you serve Him by choice. And it is a life and death choice that will affect your eternity. You make that choice with the knowledge that serving the Lord will pay off. If you don't do it, the old folks say it'll do it after a while. Serving the Lord. And that's what it, boom, 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 boom. See, if the organist were on the organ right now, I'm going to act like I didn't say that. Yeah, and that song goes, serving the Lord. It should have been warmed up, brother. I'm going to say it one more time. Serving the Lord. Get off the organ. Get off the organ. Just don't even worry about it. Don't worry about it. It will pay off if you don't do it now. It's going to do it after a while. And see the contentment that we have in service, not the payoff, but the knowledge that we are doing what He desires us to do with what pleases Him. What pleases Him. What honors Him. Serving the Lord. That's all I wanted. Stop. That's it. I had to get that out of me. And now I'm closing. And the last part of this scripture tells us, listen, not only does Joshua talk about excuses and exhortation, but he also speaks about examples. Look at what he says. As for me and my house, example. He said, listen, you might not have had a good example with your daddy and your granddaddy. Those who were on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, he says, but if you need an example today, as for me and my house. Listen at this, because one of the things that I love about Joshua here, Joshua is old in age and he's getting ready to go off the scene, but he's still strong in the Lord and he's speaking to men and he's telling men, take your rightful place in your home. Stop sending your wife and your children to church and lead them to church and lead them in worship and lead them in serving the Lord. Stop waiting till they come back home and tell you. Matter of fact, you even won't hear what they got to say about church. Serve the Lord with gladness. As for me and my house. I love the way he says this, because he says this authoritatively and absolutely. Listen, if I'm going to serve Him, oh, we all going to serve Him.
I can't understand some parents. They got big old grown children living in their house.